Colorado to our dear friend Anonymous somewhere in Illinois. Hello, Anonymous.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Dr. Delgado, I have, I'm not a medical professional, but I have cousins who went to Catholic school their entire life and then went to a Catholic university, Catholic medical school. And when I talk to them about pro-life, pro-choice issues, they say, well, I was always taught that pro-choice is the way to go, and I was taught by Catholics and priests and nuns. And they won't listen to anything I say because they say, well, people in authority in the church taught them otherwise. And what would you say to them, or what can I show them that would maybe, because they don't look at anything that I say or any, like Lighthouse Catholic Media CDs or anything.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Well,
Anonymous. Yeah,
it's a tough spot because it sounds like they may be close-minded. So I think, as with all of these situations, all conversion of hearts takes place in the context of relationships. So you have your relationship, but you have to build it and nurture it. And you have to look for the proper opportunities to discuss these. So you can't think that every time you go to a family gathering, it's your job to try to convert them to be pro-life, because it's not going to work that way. It's going to work over time with a lot of prayer on your part, a lot of humility, and a lot of good judgment. So you're going to have to really be prudent as to when you discuss it. And sometimes you're going to have to just wait for them to bring it up. When they do bring it up, I would make sure that you're always ready to have a humble discussion. And it's all about winning souls, not winning arguments. And that you know the church is teaching, and you can provide them with documentation. You know your catechism passages that deal with this. Know Humana Vitae. Know everything that you need to know so that you can tell them the beauty of the church teaching. And I think when they come up, if you are in this discussion and they say, well, such and such priest or nun taught me this or that, well, you can give them examples where there are lots of priests and nuns who maybe don't understand the church's teaching or have willingly misrepresented it. There are lots of examples you can show of that. And then you can say, but look, this is really what the church teaches. This is unbiased documentation with the catechism, and I can show you that everybody who wears a collar or wears a habit or doesn't wear a habit these days isn't necessarily teaching the truth of the church. And so once you can kind of crack that ice and then they're willing to listen, then maybe you can present some of that. Because that's the unfortunate thing is that many people have been misled in the last 50 years in our post-Vatican II era, either on purpose or because of these people not knowing really what the church teaches.
I hope that was a help, Anonymous. How much of that is an excuse? Like, Father so-and-so, Sister so-and-so said X.
Yeah.
Now we have a catechism of the Catholic Church. It's very easy to go online and search out the answer to the question, what does the Catholic Church officially teach? You know, we always say, if Hitler said 2 and 2 is 5, that doesn't mean 2 and 4 means 5. There's the authority figure, which is not unimportant, but then there's the truth. And the truth,
we all have
access to it.
And we all try to justify our beliefs. Mm-hmm. And so everybody needs to be moved to a certain tipping point. And so that's why the prayer and the relationship is so important, to get that person to that tipping point where he or she's ready to listen to the truth.
Good book by Malcolm Gladwell by that title, by the way, Tipping Point.
Right.
I note.